heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
I seriously get emotional every time we hear that song. I hope you are as pumped as we are. Welcome to episode number 3 of The Payload. I'm John. I push the buttons every week on the show. With me, though, of course, I've got an awesome crew hanging out. We've got an incredible show ahead. But before we get into it, first, all the way from Sunnyside, California, it is Jimmy Bloxham. Hey, Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's good to be back after that crazy BlizzCon we all went through.
Dude.
So unreal.
Absolutely unreal. Shattered my expectations. We're going to chat about it a little bit because obviously BlizzCon was huge. But first, or second, Kevin Hovdestad, Saskatoon, welcome. How are you, bud?
So good, John. BlizzCon was an unreal, just mind-numbing thing for me this year. It's my fourth time attending, and honestly, it gets better every year, which is kind of hard to explain because you'd think that after enough time you'd sort of learn what it was going to be like and just kind of go with it. But no, it's the best week of my year. It's Christmas every year.
Yeah, I mean, so if you guys have listened to the show before, you guys know that this was my first ever BlizzCon. And holy crap, shattered my expectations. It was so freaking fun. I spent so much money, but it was so fun. I could not believe it. We were out until 1 a.m., and that's not even late. I know. We're up until 1 a.m., and then
that's when the party started, man.
Right. And then we were up. We were ready to go. We even hit Disneyland afterward. It was awesome. But the whole thing was incredible. I was nervous going in because outside of my podcast friends here, I had nobody to hang out with except for Katie. And I was like super nervous and it was awesome. The community was super welcoming. We had a great time at World of Podcasts for Well Met. That was really fun. Got to see JR kick Towley out of our table, which was great. It was the funniest thing. Oh, Towley is sitting there. He's shaking hands with people and taking pictures. He's got like a line. And JR comes in and goes, "Hey, man, this is our table. You got to go." And Towley was really cool. He was like, "Oh, yeah, all right, sorry." So he goes, and of course, half the room goes, and we're sitting there by ourselves at the table. And I was like, maybe we should have just sat down and like started to like get in pictures with Towley and see how that would have worked. But it was absolutely awesome. Jimmy, how was your BlizzCon experience? You got to see it from the other side. This year.
It was different to say the least, but it was very fulfilling, enlightening, and eye-opening to see the convention from the other side, because I got to basically work with Blizzard and their esports team. I got to hang out with the StarCraft talent the entire opening week and all of BlizzCon, so it was really cool. And I actually got to go into the convention like 3 days early and see it all being put together. It was crazy. It was just a totally different experience from what I've had before, but I would definitely do it again because it was fun just to do it from that side of the event, because there was just one moment that I really liked. I was able to help this girl, she was probably like 10 years old, and she was like, "Oh, where are the thunder sticks?" And I got to show her where they were, and her mom, or I'm assuming it was her mom, came up to me and was asking me all about StarCraft and stuff. And so I explained it to her and where the players were sitting and on the stage and everything. And it was a really like quick moment, but it was nice to share that with somebody who was genuinely curious about the event in StarCraft and esports.
That's cool, man. Your tweets were making me emotional. Like, you're like, "This is the biggest dream ever. You turned 30. Congrats."
Yeah, thank you.
Over the week. So the big 3-0. Congratulations. Buy Jimmy a drink or something next time you see him, or next BlizzCon for when we're there, because we'll need to be able to get you crunk at 31 next year. Yeah. But yeah, dude, like, it sounds like you're having an awesome time. Kev, what about you? I know you're kind of all over the place. You had like the second tier thing going where you weren't with Blizzard, but you were at all the press stuff, all the parties. I mean, that had to be a blast.
It was very different. Like I said, I've done the BlizzCon thing several times before, but every other year, even last year when I was there with a press badge, I was really just kind of enjoying it, sitting back, taking things in, visiting with friends. It's a trip that I take every year with my little sister, because that's sort of the backstory of how I got started going to BlizzCon in the first place. But that's a story for another time. BlizzCon this year, crazy. I never hardly sat down. I had an itinerary of like places where I was being pulled in three different directions simultaneously. I honestly can hardly describe to you where I was or what I was doing on any given day, because it's all such a blur. I think in the 5 days I was in California, I maybe slept a combined total of about 12 hours. Like, it was just so unbelievable trying to keep up with all the things that were going on, but I loved it. I loved every second of it. I had people asking me about the games, people asking me what I was going to write when I got back. I had people who stopped me that I swear I've never met in my whole life to be like, hey, you do good stuff, man. I really enjoy your whatever. And I kind of like, oh, thank you. And just walked away kind of dazed and confused, but I really loved it. I loved the whole show.
That's awesome, man. Well, hey guys, congrats on an awesome year at BlizzCon. I wish we got to hang out more. We only got to really...
Oh, I felt bad, dude.
Honestly, like, I don't think we, all three of us, actually got to hang out once. Kev and I, we hung out a little bit at the Wowhead party. And we hung out with JR for World of Podcast. But even then, it was a lot of work. We didn't actually just like sit back and chill and like, let's talk about everything going on. So
yeah, as if there was time for that, right?
Oh, I know.
Dude, same thing with this podcast.
Non-stop.
There's no time for that. We got to jump into the news. Let's go.
This week in Overwatch.
All right. So first things first, before we get into all of the massive announcements from BlizzCon, we just want to go back through and talk real quick about beta access. So what we know right now is obviously several waves of beta keys have gone out. They're not the kind of key that you get emailed and can redeem or trade online. It's all done on an account flagging basis. We've seen Blizzard continue to tweet that they're going to add more waves. It's supposedly going to be every few days, but we haven't actually got like a it'll be every Thursday type of pattern nailed down. They always tweet when they're finished a new wave. And we did learn that they're expecting to have a open beta weekend, one of the big sort of slam the servers and do some stress testing weekends before the end of 2015. So sometime in the next probably 3 to 4 weeks, because Blizzard, like everybody else, does have a little bit of a slow period around Christmas time. So that's, I think that's the big beta news that we're aware of thus far. John, did I miss anything?
No, I was just, are you guys a little bit surprised that we're only, you know, they made it really sound like we're only going to see one beta weekend if all things go to plan before the year's end? I know a lot of people, including myself, kind of like, I kind of figured we'd see one every couple weeks or like one a month. Were you guys feeling that, or am I just stupid?
No, I was feeling the same way. I was expecting at least one a month, especially towards the end of the year with all these holidays coming up. I would kind of expect them to kind of fall on those, just because people sometimes have a little bit more free time to do stuff like this and participate in open betas sometimes. But yeah, only if there's only going to be one between now and the end of the year, that's only, 6 weeks left?
Yeah, I guess that's true. It's halfway through November.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to come down to they're just going to want to ramp up towards the end. You saw the exact same thing with, for sake of argument, Heroes of the Storm, where the technical alpha was kind of limited. When they went into beta, it was a very brief thing. They blew it wide open for a big open beta right towards the end. If, and I know we're going to talk more about Overwatch launch here in a minute, but when it comes time to get to the tail end of the test period, I wouldn't be surprised if it was every weekend for a month. But if they're going to do a total of maybe, we'll say 6 or 8 of these test weekends where they really want to stress test their servers and then dial back and see what they can learn from it, I don't think you're going to see more than maybe, you know, one a month at most until you get into the last 8 to 10 weeks before the game actually goes live.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. let's talk about the big real Overwatch news then. So we're going to kind of spitfire down, and you guys just interrupt me when you want to talk about it, because there's a lot to go through here. So we got a lot of big news at BlizzCon and over the last week about Overwatch, and we want to get you as up to date as possible on all of the stuff that went down. First and foremost, we do have a launch date, or a launch period, I guess, of spring of 2016, the latest being June 21st. The second piece, we got three new heroes. Do not interrupt me, because we're going to talk about those later. All right, it's going to be coming on PC, PS4, and Xbox One. One notable exclusion so far is no Mac client, and it sounds like no Mac client in the immediate pipe, but also they left the language kind of open to, like, it's not totally out of the question, but also made it really closed. Is like, it's not like we're hoping to have it by the end of beta or by launch. It's like, right now, there's really no plans for a Mac client.
That surprises me quite a bit, because they've traditionally been very good about their games being compatible on Windows and Mac. So I'm a little surprised. It's got to be some technical reason with the engine or something, but it still surprises me.
Let me do this, because I feel like we have a pretty good track record, even though we're only on episode 3 here. We said before BlizzCon, yeah, we're going to get a launch date at, you know, the actual event. We said we expect to see it on console. We're pretty much bang on 100% all the way through. I'm going to put my foot down right here right now. There is going to be a Mac client one day. I'm just going to say that. I know a ton of people who work on the other side, working on drivers that relate to Blizzard products as far as testing goes at like NVIDIA. And they're aware that there's no Mac client right now, but everybody wants it. Even though Mac is a very narrow market share in the gaming world, if you go and you buy a Mac and it's going to be your primary computer, you know going in that Blizzard is the one company, honestly, that you can turn to and know that you can play their whole library of games. And I can't imagine a world in which that's not something that Blizzard wants to continue forward with. If anything, up until very recently, we were honestly starting to expect that maybe some of Blizzard's other games might start to see more cross-platform support and start to see native Linux clients or something crazy. Now, that's a stretch and maybe not as worthwhile from a like cost-benefit thing, but Mac support is really like that runs in their blood. They've got a whole team of Mac engineers. I can't imagine they're not working on it. They just don't want to commit to a simultaneous Mac launch, because it's probably the type of problem where even if they can solve it in the next 6 months, they're just going to string it along and really make sure that it's good and clean before they move ahead and actually launch it for Mac.
Something too. So if you are on a Mac, and the guys on the podcast know, and if you know, you've ever met me, you know, I'm a pretty big Apple guy. I get a lot of crap for it a lot of the time, but I'm a pretty big Apple guy. I used to game on an iMac. Don't worry, PC Master Race. I boot camped. So that is something that you can do as well. If you can't wait to see if and when Blizzard decides to come out for a Mac client, you've got a built-in program called Bootcamp. All you have to do is buy a copy of Windows, load it up, and then you can run Overwatch on your Mac, and it'll be the best PC that you ever bought. So there you go on that. So great. Let's keep on going down the line. Sound good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So there are going to be three different versions available for pre-purchase, at least. We have a standard version, which is PC only, $39.99. Thoughts? None? Moving on.
I'm surprised it's PC only. I kind of was expecting, maybe this will be in the future, but maybe just on the PlayStation Network store or the Xbox store, just a $40 standalone copy. That's the only thing I was a bit surprised about.
That's fair. Kev, what do you think? Do you think that there's a reason why they don't offer a $40 standalone copy for Xbox or PS4?
I think it would cause too much confusion in the console market, and I think they know that going in. The console consumer expects that when they go to buy a game, there is a version, not that they have to pick or choose, And when you buy something that's more expensive than the baseline, it's usually because there's a physical product inclusion, statue or something, right? Fallout 4 came with the like Pip-Boy gizmo. Like there's lots of stuff, but it's never a difference in the physical core game that you can play. If anything, honestly, I'm shocked that this lower price point entry for PC exists at all. I would not have been shocked if they looked at the market and said, we don't need that. But they know better than we do. And I'm sure that the, you know, market testing focus group stuff has said PC gamers don't necessarily want to drop the extra money. They've already spent the additional funds to build a competitive machine to play the game on. So maybe that's where they'd like to shave those couple bucks off because they don't need the skins or whatever.
That's true. I really like, Kev, what you said about just kind of the confusion. Hey, the Xbox store is not, I'm not on PS4, so I can't speak to that. But the Xbox store is not a super efficient and easy to navigate store. I just bought Destiny, and there's three or four different versions of Destiny in the Xbox store because they have one with the by itself, one with the season pass, one with just the game and the new expansion, which includes the other ones for this amount. And it was kind of really overwhelming, even for, I like to think, a relatively smart guy like myself. And so, yeah, I like that. I haven't found a good answer I've liked, but Kev, I like your answer. Good job. Kudos to you, sir. Let's go ahead and talk about the other editions that we have then. So Origins Edition, it's for PC, PS4, Xbox One, $60. Here's what it includes. 5 Origin skins. Now, these are really cool. Origin skins are basically where these heroes came from or where they were or something like that. And we've got Overgrown Bastion, Blackwatch Reyes, Slipstream Tracer, Strike Commander Morrison, and Security Chief Farah. I purposely did not go in and tell you which is which because I figured we would talk about these kind of individually and talk about all the hype around them, because I think these are really cool. Kev, what did you think?
I guess I'm a little on the fence right now because we don't have enough information from my perspective. I love the notion that they're introducing alternate skins and this is something that people can look forward to in the game, but this is sort of the core set that everybody's going to start with. And then from there, we just don't know how it evolves. We don't know how you're going to pick skins. We don't know how many skins. We don't know, are you going to be able to acquire skins individually, or are they just going to be part of, you know, the Origins expansions? There's just a lot of information I would like to feel better about having skins in this game. Having said all of that, they look really good, and they've done a really great job in my mind of keeping the visual identity of each character. So you're not guessing at what you're shooting at because it doesn't suddenly have Kerrigan wings and Diablo hooves and a suit of armor over top of what the character used to look like. The core identity of each character is still clean and apparent as soon as you load up that skin.
What about you, Jimmy?
I'm really excited for these just because in one of the panels at BlizzCon, I got to finally go back and watch some of the panels that obviously I wasn't able to see. They talked that they're going to be doing animated shorts on the background of a lot of the characters, and I feel like these will be a lot more impactful once we hear those stories and kind of just get the background on all these heroes. And like Kevin was saying, this really kind of opens the door to questions about how skins are going to work in the future. Obviously, I think it's very easy to take the next step and be like, okay, they're going to be paid add-ons, obviously. I'm excited for more so for all the other stuff that's being added in for all the other Blizzard games. That's actually really exciting.
Yeah, these in-game goodies are incredible. So let's go ahead and just jump right into them. Baby Winston pet for WoW, my personal favorite, almost worth going straight back to WoW just for that guy. Adorable. I freaking love it. We've also got, of course, an Overwatch card back for Hearthstone, which looks really good. We've got just a little thing. This isn't that big of a deal, but there's going to be a Tracer hero in Heroes of the Storm. Come on.
That's the best one. That's the actual best one.
I am so excited for that. Oh my goodness.
You guys somewhere need to teach
in
me
my
to,
like
You guys need to teach me to play Heroes. Oh my gosh, we're doing so bad at this. You need to teach me to play Heroes because I want to play Tracer.
You're going to have to. I seriously, when they put up the announcement of what was going to be included in Origins, I'm sure somewhere in my Twitter history, there's just a tweet of me going, put that freaking Tracer in my Heroes right freaking now, because it looks so good. And we always sort of anticipated this crossover happening once Overwatch was playable. And now that it's actually happening, I'm ecstatic to see how that's going to work, because I just love that they're introducing the new lore from the new universe into their When Worlds Collide game. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm all about it. And I think Total Biscuit tweeted, he goes, conspiracy theory that Overwatch is just a way for them to put really awesome heroes into Heroes of the Storm.
All right. I can work with that. I'm good with it.
I'm okay with that.
I know you guys are all right with it. You guys play way too much Heroes. So we've got Mercy Wings in Diablo, and then Player Portraits in StarCraft 2, which I'm sure everybody is super excited about. I mean, you can correct me when I'm wrong. I'm not a huge StarCraft guy, but I've always felt that StarCraft players, when they get portraits and everyone else is getting card backs and new heroes and pets, always kind of go, nah.
There's a little bit of that with all the franchises, right? Like, all that you ever get anymore in WoW is battle pets. All you ever get in Hearthstone is card backs. Like, it's kind of the same thing pretty well across each game. They've picked their one place where those crossovers are going to be, you know, apparent, I guess. I would love to see them do something different or more things, because there's definitely examples in the past of cool other stuff that has crossed over, whether that's Heroes of the Storm mounts, WoW mounts, toys inside World of Warcraft. There's been items or like ways to color your gear with the transmog system in Diablo. There's lots of stuff, but this is sort of like the default. You get a pet, a card back, some kind of thing that looks like a wing in Diablo, and obviously the like banner and portrait stuff, and a set of portraits in StarCraft. Like, that's just the default. Probably the like the coolest one out of this set for me because of that is having Tracer in Heroes, because that's such a like, we're going to give you a sweet new character, totally unprecedented. Try it, see what you think.
Yeah.
And hopefully that sets the stage for more Overwatch crossover, which I am all about, obviously.
Yeah. We'll leave that lie. And let's talk a little bit about the collector's edition that I've already pre-ordered. So much money. So much money, guys. I can't do this anymore. Overwatch, you are driving me into bankruptcy, and I love you for it. So, collector's edition, again, for all three. But again, you choose the version. It's not like you pay $60 and you get it for all three. So keep that in mind. We had that question a couple of times, but I didn't think it was needed to be said, but it clearly needs to be said. So you get everything from the Origins edition, which is sweet. You get a awesome Soldier 76 statue. You get an Overwatch visual source book. And you get the Overwatch soundtrack, which, if you listen to our intro and outro, it's almost as good as that, but like for hours and hours and hours. What do you guys think about this?
I traditionally always buy collector's editions for Blizzard games, and this isn't going to be any different. I always really like buying them for the Overwatch or the soundtracks. Obviously for this it's going to be the Overwatch soundtrack, and the art books are always nice, so I'm interested to see how big the statue is, but other than that, yeah, I'll be buying the collector's edition.
Kev, what about you?
I mean, same deal. I own every Blizzard Collector's Edition all the way back, except for the original World of Warcraft, because at the time I didn't know there was one. I totally missed out because of that. But yeah, I think this is the like hype level stuff that's going to be in the box, right? Odds are there's other stuff. If history is any indication, other collector's editions have included little stuff, like you get like a mouse pad sometimes, or they'll throw in little cards that you can redeem for packs of cards in Hearthstone or skins in Heroes. Like, there's always a little bit of cross promotion to the other games, which will be awesome. But I mean, I'm in it for the art books and the soundtracks, and that's the one like set of things that they always do, and they do super well. I am actually surprised, just as an aside, I think this is the first collector's edition I've seen that didn't include a behind the scenes DVD, like advertised that they were going to have that behind the scenes making of DVD, because that's been, I think, like, call me out if I'm wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure every other collector's edition has done that. And this is a game where I would have really liked to see that.
I have no idea to verify.
I think you're right. And those are like one of the tradition I kind of have with Blizzard games is I play through the game, and then after I beat it or whatever, I go and watch the behind the scenes DVD stuff, and I just like watch all 2 or 3 hours of it. And it's a really fun experience to see the behind the scenes stuff. And I really hope that this is happening for Overwatch, especially considering it's the newest IP for Blizzard and something totally different for them.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
We do also have like the digital shorts and stuff coming out too. So I don't know if maybe they try to, you know, bolster those two kind of together as well. But hey, anything more on top of what we get for that, I'm totally game for. I love more free stuff that I didn't know I was going to get.
Guarantee there's more in that box than what's on that list.
Oh, I'm sure.
For sure.
Nice. All right, guys. Let's get to another meaty topic, new heroes. We got 3 new ones. A lot of people have been speculating based on kind of leaked posters in the past or just regular, you know, kind of layouts where we've seen these mysterious, you know, this mysterious green ninja dude hanging out. We finally got a name to those faces. Kevin, take it away.
For sure. So in the lead up to BlizzCon, we did actually get the formal announcement of D.Va, who is a so-called pro gamer, and they're making a really nice allusion to pro StarCraft with her as a Korean gamer, a 4-time world champion, so her bio goes. Super interesting character that is really kind of soft and just like not gentle, but plays almost like a slow moving tracer, just not a ton of health or strength when she doesn't have her robot mecha suit up, which is really where as a character she shines. And holy wow, if that's not the best ult in the game and the most fun to pull off, I don't know what is. So incredible when you get to jump in there in that robot suit. Oh my god,
they're gonna nerf that so hard, it is so strong
when you first pull off your jetpack and your in the ult at the same time. It is like the most satisfying feeling.
It is, yeah, absolutely. So
good. She's an awesome character. She's gonna be a ton of fun. She's got like a really good backstory that just fits so nice with the rest of the games. Then you've got Mei, who's kind of a new defensive character. I liken her honestly to just like a sweet female ice climber running around in my Overwatch, which is awesome. Very cool toolkit, plays a lot like I actually kind of find that her movement abilities, because of the ability to spring off the wall, give her almost a like Junkrat-y kind of feel. And then also, obviously, the zoning potential, preventing people from retreating. You will, at some point when you play this game, try to run away from an engagement, back into that wall and go, oh, and that's the end. And that's, it's a lot of fun. It's just super cool what that's going to do as far as implications for, you know, blocking abilities, setting up team fights, splitting off people to isolate them off of objectives. It's going to be a lot of fun. The last one, go ahead.
And I think I play a little bit of her. I think her primary gun, you have to watch out for it, because if you don't keep track of her, you'll all of a sudden be frozen in place and the rest of their team can just jump on you and kill you.
And you freeze pretty quick.
Yeah.
Too. I was really surprised.
For a long time.
Yeah, yeah. I was really surprised. I was like watching the videos and it's kind of like, you know, this long and you're like, oh, big deal. Like, what a rollover kind of gun thing. And all of a sudden I'm playing and I'm like, wait, crap. No, I can't get away. Shoot. And I'm like dying. She's shooting her little ice pistol at me. And yeah. I'm like, oh man, you're the worst.
The amount of times I've had that happen already, just as playing D.Va is like absurd.
Right. And you can all, without even stopping to look at it, think of all the crazy synergies that's going to create. Just looking at how powerful, like zoning, freezing, all that stuff in one character combined with take your pick of a dozen of the other characters and how that would work together. Like, It's crazy.
Positioning in Overwatch is so key. Like, the really good players are really figuring out how important positioning is. And when you have somebody who can just straight up throw up a wall or totally freeze you and your entire team while you're trying to defend a payload or defend a capture point or whatever, like, that's huge. And that's going to be where you're really going to see, you know, kind of utility roles like this shine. And when you start to see these teams really start to embrace the teamwork, that's going to be so important, especially when this starts hitting competitive, the competitive esports scene.
However, we saved the best for last. The much awaited, oft speculated green robot ninja dude is officially Genji. I'm gonna go with Genji. Yeah. Hanzo's brother suited up in a crazy exoskeletal robot armor suit, running in and not fighting you with some kind of photon cannon, plasma rifle. No, he's gonna walk up there with some kind of like electro-enhanced samurai sword and get up in your face. This might be my favorite character on design, and we've been waiting for it for so long. He was in the original character poster from the reveal last year at BlizzCon. Yeah. So we've sat and waited all year. Where's our green robot ninja dude? And now we got him. I think there's probably some balance tweaking to be done here, because if you've run into a fight with his deflect up, he might be just a hair too much fun right now.
He deflects ultimate. It's absurd.
He walks through them like they're not happening.
So I don't even need to go into the gameplay stuff, because you guys clearly know exactly how strong he is and how frustrating he is to play against and how funny he is to play as. But I've always liked the Overwatch story stuff, and I was super kind of into it. I'm like, oh, this would be so great. I want to learn more about the lore and the world and everything going on. And then they drop Genji on us, and I go, holy crap. Like, this is awesome. So brothers fighting, right? So basically something happens where Hanzo kind of goes rogue and almost kills Genji, right? Is that kind of how the story goes? And then
they basically
do a RoboCop thing to him and bring him back in with, you know, the ability to, you know, go then and
as freaking Darth
brother.
Hanzo. Oh yeah. My God.
Darth Hanzo. I prefer Robo Genji.
Yeah.
But yes, it's just insane. And when you, the part that I really was just super into it was right before the closing ceremonies, they were doing an interview with Chris Metzen. And Metzen, when he started talking about the characters, literally starts tearing up about like the characters' stories and how into them, and like he's totally invested into the stories of these characters. And even then, when I saw little baby Winston, I'm like, I don't want my mom. So yeah, I'm all about it. The story is incredible. And come on, just give me an Overwatch movie now, please.
They have killed it, honestly, on teasing out kind of the like incomplete details of how so much of this story has way more depth than I think anyone would have expected from what was billed as a shooter originally. There's going to be some really great lore here. And I really hope that as the game evolves and they continue to add more stuff to it, whether that's characters, maps, game modes, whatever, that they actually advance that storyline and we get to hear a little bit more about it and see more of where people came from. If we could have gotten another, you know, like the trailer that they played last year, if we could get another cinematic of that caliber that plays up where we're at now, as we get into whatever it comes next for Overwatch next year, like that would blow me away. And on that note, there were no new game modes or any changes to the core gameplay announced at BlizzCon. We had speculated that maybe we might see them talk about adding some new game types, mixing things up a little bit. Obviously like a King of the Hill type thing might work, or maybe crazy to talk like a CTF type thing, but no new game modes whatsoever. So
they actually,
what do you think?
Did talk about potentially doing CTF, and then they at one of the panels for Overwatch, and then they realized what would like the rules be for who can carry the flag? Because if just anyone can, then you're just going to have teams full of tracers zooming across the map trying to grab flags and stuff. So
right.
I think they kind of backed away from doing that. But yeah, I am surprised that there were no game modes at all announced. There's only two game modes currently. It seems a little sparse a bit, and it seems like it might get a little stale, but who knows? Maybe the maps will keep keep up the variety for the game.
I think it's really hard, though, when you think about it. I mean, we've emphasized from the beginning, or Blizzard has emphasized from the beginning, the importance of roles and role switching. And when you talk about, like, a lot of people are like, well, what about, you know, kind of kill the guy with the ball? I forget what it was called. It was like VIP in Halo or something like that, where it's, you know, but it's like, okay, well, how do roles work? Well, then you just make that guy a tank. And if it's randomly, you know, the healers get, you know, screwed because they're not very good at defending themselves and they need other people to do it. And it really breaks down kind of the core gameplay that Blizzard is really latching on to. I don't think that it doesn't mean we won't see another game type. In fact, I think it'd be really silly if we didn't. But I think when you're choosing, you know, the type of game types that you want in your game, it's going to be incredibly important that you don't start to delineate the importance of the different roles in the game. And I think Blizzard right now, I think they're hedging towards that and saying, there's a lot of really cool things you can do. I said, I want a Slayer mode. We're never going to see that. That was the stupidest thing in the world. Why did you even let me say that? Should have shut down the podcast right then and there. I think it's really interesting. And personally, I'm really glad Blizzard is taking this very cautious approach as they're introducing new heroes and new game types into the game. We all want more. They know that we all want more, but they're going to do it when it's right.
Yeah, and Blizzard has a good track record in most of their other games. I'm going to cite Diablo, Heroes of the Storm, even StarCraft on this. When they need to create variety, they do so with level and map design. And they have a really great track record of saying, okay, we have a core set of gameplay mechanics. We like how they work. But it would be very easy for Blizzard to say, okay, we're happy with how Overwatch plays, but it needs something slightly different. So instead of a capture the objective style, we're going to play it as more of like an assault and defend, where you have just a straight up fortress that you have to keep your opponents out of. And there's checkpoints and capture points that allow you to open up the doors and move along in the map that's otherwise totally controlled by the defending team. Or like breach and clear style gameplay. There's lots of things they could do by just amending level design to allow the existing system that everyone understands as far as how to move a payload or capture an objective, just reimagined ever so slightly. And they're probably going to approach it from that angle more than a straight up, here's a third new game type. Because I think that they've more or less by saying like, we want this very team focused gameplay style, boxed themselves into, you have to have these points that require being controlled, whether that point is fixed or mobile, like you have to have them. You could have more than one at the same time. You could have them move around the map at arbitrary times or to new locations, but controlling a position has to be a fundamental of whatever they do with this game, basically forever, the way it's designed right now.
And I just had an idea. I think this is actually a deliberate design decision by Blizzard to make the game as simple for people to get into as possible, because stuff like Halo and Call of Duty, I know they're totally different shooters, but you have someone new in there, you bump them into multiplayer mode, they have like 14 playlists to choose from. They're like, what do I choose? But this, you just hit play and you're in.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah,
I agree entirely. Things we've missed, we didn't talk about. There's a brand new map. We should probably circle back and talk about the fact that there's a brand new map. Somebody, anybody, John, tell me about Hollywood.
It's based in Hollywood.
Thank you. Never mind. I'll correct. Do it myself. Guys, no, Hollywood is a new map based in Hollywood.
It was a joke. Go ahead and take it, okay?
Shutting down the podcast.
Yeah, you go ahead and take it. I won't make any more jokes on the podcast because Kevin gets hangry.
I do need to eat. It's true. No, I mean, I think it's really exciting that they're giving us a new map. I'm guessing this is one of the places where we haven't seen the last of what's going to come before release. I would be shocked if we don't get a couple more maps in the release version of the game that we're going to see next spring.
Yeah, I mean, there's still PAX and other gaming events between now and the release. And I actually did watch the panel where they broke down the Hollywood map, and it's actually really interesting. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. I believe it's on the beta now, but it just hasn't come up in any of my games. But you go through, like, the back lot, and it's a Western-themed one, and Jeff Kaplan, we even joked about, oh, you can only play as McCree there. Like, he only plays as McCree there. He's like, yes. Yeah, I have to roleplay it. And then you go into into the studio, and they're shooting, like, an old style, like, sci-fi movie, like an old 50s-60s style sci-fi movie, and there's actually a director's chair there on the back of it. I mean, obviously Blizzard always has Easter eggs in everything they do. On the back of it is the name of the director who directed the cinematic from last year's BlizzCon for Overwatch. You start the map on the outside of the lot. So there's like streets and cars and stuff like that. And there's actually a studio called Goldshire Studios, I think.
Yep.
And so that's just another one of those Easter eggs from Blizzard,
right?
Harkening back to other properties.
And then the name of the, like, the trailer that you're escorting, the guy who's supposedly in it, is Helfred Glitchbot, right? So very, very well done. They're like, we had to be really careful to not run into any copyright kind of name stealing stuff. And so they did a good job. It looks really awesome. I definitely can't wait. I haven't actually queued into it either, so I haven't got to play it. I just got to see the walkthroughs.
Yeah, and they look crazy. So before we wrap up gameplay stuff, there is one thing we wanted to talk about a little bit, and that's how we're going to deal with esports and what it means that this game is going to be played on three different platforms. Blizzard didn't really give a definitive answer on this. So when we were at the convention, they talked about being cross-platform, having the game release on all three simultaneously. Very cool that we are going to be able to play the game. And that's, you know, awesome to see. Like, I want to play it on Xbox One with my friends who just want to hang out and sit on the couch to play. That's cool. But because you can't actually interface between them, we're all kind of sitting there wondering. And I think, like, my perception at least is the esports side of competitive Overwatch is basically going to have to be on the PC side. Am I wrong?
I 100% agree. I mean, the only thing I can think about is that some tournament organizers might look at it from a cost perspective and be like, oh, it's way cheaper for us to bring in 100 Xbox Ones in copies of the game versus having to provide PCs and stuff like that. But I mean, obviously, if you're on that scale, you're gonna have sponsorships and stuff like that, so it should be easier to bring in PCs like that. But I wholeheartedly agree with you that I don't see it not being on PC being the
it's really weird. I don't think I can think of really any time when it's been any different except for Halo. But Halo was released for console first, and then literally like a year later, Halo 1, and I think Halo 2 did too, came to PC. It wasn't like a simultaneous release. But so I think naturally it has to be that. But at the same time, for me, I'm kind of hoping it's Xbox, because I am far better with an Xbox controller than I am with a mouse and keyboard. So
honestly, the only reason I say it is it has nothing to do with like which would be better in terms of a competitive scene, because I don't want to get into the shooters are better on PC debate. I honestly think it's just a question of structuring tournaments, organizing events, online play through qualifiers across people who are in different parts of the world. That stuff honestly just lends itself so much better to a PC environment. And the only game I can think of that has this like multi-platform example to cite would be something like Smite, right? And Smite did come out with a simultaneous release on PC and consoles, and both sides technically get an esports presence, but the primary competitive scene is PC, and then the console players get like a smaller side tournament where it's like, if you can't play it on PC or don't play it on PC, show up and you can play for $20 on console, and that's awesome. But I think that's where we're at. Like, I think the competitive scene, plus, let's be very clear, Blizzard is primarily a PC developer. When you go to BlizzCon, when they set up stages for two teams to face off head to head on stage, the ability to simply control for a local network, they can bring in local servers to make sure there's no issues. They can control all the variables for their tournament. Like, I'm going to have to assume that the competitive scene has to run on PC.
Yeah, I'm right with you. We did not play Diablo at BlizzCon on Xbox. That's for sure. So at the same time, like, if there's a company who sees an opportunity elsewhere and wants to move into that, Blizzard will do it. Like, just because they're a PC developer doesn't mean that they're always going to be a PC developer. And doesn't, I mean, primarily, sure, but even look at Hearthstone, and they're, you know, supporting mobile on all these different devices. And not that it's not like PC first, but they have shown their proficiency in other types of operating systems and things like that, to where if Blizzard all of a sudden goes, oh man, all these awesome, really good console shooter guys are starting to play Overwatch, and people are wild about watching these people, and there's all these more people over here watching these guys play Overwatch on Xbox, let's start throwing our esports money there. Like, I think they would be willing to do that. I think they're flexible enough of a company to do that. I don't think that's very likely at all, not even close. But if it were to happen, I believe that, you know, Blizzard isn't so set in their ways. They're like, nope, we're a PC company. We made this for Xbox just for the casuals.
No, like, don't get me wrong. If somebody were to put together like an Overwatch console competitive scene that ran out of like an MLG type event or something to that effect, absolutely. I think there would be support for that. I'm just looking at it from like a fundamental, how does this ecosystem play out long term perspective? And guys who are playing on console aren't streaming. Console teams aren't getting sponsorship. Like, the ecosystem outside of what Blizzard has created has sort of made this decision that esports happen on PC. And the only place that bucks that trend is the fighting game community, which has a tiny, 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 tiny once a year sort of get together at Evo and otherwise basically doesn't exist. So I'm definitely all about, like, if there's a competitive console scene for Overwatch, sign me up, because I'm right there with you. I'm going to be way better on console than I am on PC. But the esports, like, Blizzard Overwatch World Championship scene, BALC for short, is probably going to have to be on PC.
Totally. Any last thoughts on that one, guys? Nope, we feel good.
I feel good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've actually had a pretty long show, and so we need to go ahead and wrap it up a little bit. Jimmy, take it away.
All right, we have actually two new reviews brought to us from the Canada region. Megatron 7, thank you for reviewing us on iTunes, I believe. And in the UK, Ixius 99, I think that's an I at the beginning.
Well done.
So yeah. Thank you very much for reviewing it. It helps us helps our visibility in the Apple Store and wherever you can review it. It helps us out so much, and we thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go through some shout-outs for the week. Cav, why don't we have you go first?
Definitely, yeah. Crazy week, obviously. I honestly only got back from BlizzCon last night. My life is a total mess. There's no groceries in my house. Things have been crazy. But I want to just give big ups to all the people who came up and said hi at BlizzCon, whether that was because of my articles, the podcasts, whatever it was. It was a pleasure to meet so many people and get to know all of the faces and you know, awesome personalities that go with the words on the screens that we have to see for the other 51 weeks of the year. Big things coming up for me. I've got Legacy of the Void reviews coming out. So at some point in the course of the next couple of weeks, my first ever professional game reviews are going to be up, and I would absolutely love if you would check them out. I'll be doing a multiplayer StarCraft review over on GamesBeat, and a full review of Legacy of the Void start to finish over on Zam.com.
Awesome. What about you, Jimmy? What are you up to this week?
Shoutouts. Shoutouts, just thank you to Blizzard for the incredible experience of the last 2 weeks, basically. Thank you to Talent for getting me sick. And thank you to everyone who came up and said hi to me at Blizzard, at BlizzCon, and bought me drinks. I appreciate it.
Awesome. As for me here, first of all, huge shout out to Lance in the chat room. Lance has been awesome. He hung out with us for World of Podcast for Well Met. And then I got a tour of Blizzard from Lance, and he is an awesome, awesome tour guide. So you should maybe look him up if you're looking for a tour of Blizzard. And hopefully I didn't just throw you under the bus. But
you can request tours.
I think it's
tours@blizzard.com. Go check out their website. There's a public way to do it.
I'm going
to
get like unfollowed, and he's just like, I can't talk to you anymore. But yeah, it was seriously awesome. The highlight of my week. And that was so much fun to get to hang out. And he rocked his Well Met shirt hanging out. So that was cool.
So cool.
Big shout out to Katie, who was really cool about all the guys flirting with her over the weekend. She handled it really well. Got us both some free drinks. So I'm okay with that. And then, yeah. Cool. Anything you guys are up to last week? Any last minute things, or should we just go ahead and get out of here?
I think it's awesome that we had so many people supporting the both shows, Well Met and now The Payload, that were out at BlizzCon asking questions, wanting to learn more about it. If you're not already hooked into Well Met, check us out over there. Well Met podcast records on Sundays, comes out on Mondays. It's our Hearthstone show for John and myself and the Blizz Pro owner JR. And obviously those of you who've chosen to spend your Thursday nights here with us on The Payload, that means so much to us. Everything you're saying, we're taking into account. We want to read your messages, email the show, and let us know what you want to hear. John, what's our email address?
Yes, so let's just go down the rundown. First of all, big thanks to Jake Butno over jakebutno.ca for doing our awesome music. We've got Dread Scythe over at scythedesigns.com, who made our layout look beautiful and professional. You can send us emails to thepayload@blizzpro.com. Give us a follow on Twitter @payloadpodcast. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and the new, coming soon, Google Podcasts, and everywhere else. I think I got them all, so we're going to go ahead and get out of here.
The Payload is a production of BlizzPro. Find out more about Overwatch at overwatch.blizzpro.com. You can find your host throughout the week on social media. Find Jimmy on Twitter @DJTyrant, Kevin on Twitter @LackOfRealism, and John on Twitter @KickedTripod.